Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Did y'all have a good Christmas? Everybody have a good Christmas? Nice. Hopefully everybody got what you wanted. It was kind of funny. I had an unusual gift. I was telling somebody about it in the lobby. My wife, love her to death. She's so sweet. She bought me to replace the AirPods that I lost, some knockoff AirPods. And I opened them up and I put them on my ears and they were like this big and they were white. It looked like I had a double ear infection. And she said, you know what, we're going to return those and get you something different. Hopefully y'all had a great Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and just say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, guys. It's, y'all go ahead. That's awesome. Yes, Happy New Year, everybody. And man, it's just a good day. We are going to continue in our series in Luke. And it's called Living Hope. And we've got just a really great passage. I'm going to read it for us. And then we're going to get into the message today. All right. This passage of scripture is called the Parable of the Ten Mina. And it's found in Luke 19, 11 through 26. And it starts off like this. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. Therefore, he said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to become king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 mina and told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. At his return, having received the authority to become king, he summoned those servants he had given the money to so that he could find out how much they had made in business. The first came forward and said, Master, your mina has earned 10 more mina. He said, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. The second came and said, Master, your mina has made 5 mina. And he said to him, you will be over 5 towns. And another came and said, Master, here's your mina. I've kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you since you're a harsh man. And you collect what you didn't deposit, and you reap what you didn't sow. Mr. Sassy Pants. Verse 22. He told him, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. If you knew I was a harsh man, collecting what I didn't deposit, and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest. So he said to those standing here, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who's got 10. But they said, Master, he's already got 10. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, and from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. But bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them. And you see that last part, family service. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for, God, just the new year that we're about to walk into. Thank you that we can be here in your presence and we can allow the scriptures to speak to us. And God, I just pray that everyone that hears this message, myself included, will be impacted and our lives will be different going into 2024. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You probably saw the meme going around. Today is 12/31/23. That's 1-2-3-1-2-3. Just thought that was kind of cool. Has no spiritual significance whatsoever. And I'm not even going to try to predict the second coming of Jesus or anything with those numbers. Just thought it was kind of interesting. And look, in 2024, everything is about to change. Everything's about to change. We can feel it. Look, going into 2023, you thought you knew what 2023 was going to be like, but you really had no idea. And we went through some valleys this past year. We went through some difficult times. We went through some high times up on the mountaintop, right? Some of us, we struggled financially this year. We lost loved ones. We had a hard time this year. But in the same breath, we also were on the mountaintop. We had some amazing things happen this year. And it's just been a great year. Like, if you think about it, like, some of us, we got new jobs. Some of us had babies. What? Some of us, there's just so many blessings that have happened this year. And it's been a phenomenal year. And it's funny because I was thinking about this too as a church body. Man, this has been a great year for our church. Do you realize we had over 10 people give their life to Christ this year. That doesn't count all the people that rededicated their life to Christ. We had 10 baptisms this year. We had 5 baby dedications. We had 31 community groups this year. We have 101 people serving at our church on the Dream Team. And we had to go to 2 services because so many people wanted to come here and be in the presence of God in this building. And it's been crazy. And so we've been on a mountaintop this year. It's been an awesome, awesome year. And 2024 is also going to be an amazing year. We're going to have amazing times, but we're also going to have some valleys. And that's just to be expected, right? But here's the difference. Going into 2024 this year, you can stand at the edge of 2024 and know that you're going to face valleys this year. Why? Because of what happened in 2023. What God brought you through. You remember what David said? He said, when they said, hey, what makes you think you could take down Goliath? He said, God already delivered the bear into my hands. God delivered the lion into my hands. God's going to deliver the giant into my hands. You can look at 2024 and know that because of what God helped you and brought you through in 2023, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Amen? Everything is about to change. And where we start in this passage, it's funny because Jesus and his disciples are actually entering into a new season where everything is about to change. They were just leaving Jericho. They've been hanging out with the short king, Zacchaeus. And what they were doing was they were heading towards Jerusalem. It says it in verse 11. He went on to tell the parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. And what did that mean? What does this mean? It means that the disciples were under the impression that when Jesus got to Jerusalem, that it was about to go down. Like everything was about to change. That he was going to go and he was going to become king over Jerusalem. That he was going to drive out Rome. He was going to establish a dominant reign of military power and political glory on the throne of David. And that they were going to go into Jerusalem. And Jesus was going to throw off his humble robe, he's going to pull out a sword, and he's going to take down the Romans. This is what they thought. So they're headed to Jerusalem, right? And he hears the whispers in the camp. And they're like, yo, kingdom of God's coming. It's about to go down. We're going to live as kings and queens in Jerusalem when Jesus is on the throne. So he hears all this, right? And he's like, let me tell them this parable. It's so funny because that they still believe this. People had been believing this since the very beginning when Jesus was here. They thought that he was going to establish himself as king. In the chapter before this one, in chapter 18, it actually, Jesus said this to their face. He said in verse 31 and 18, it says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, they will flog him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. He literally said that to their face. Yet they still believe that when we get to Jerusalem, it's going down. We're going to live as kings. It's going to be amazing. Even though he just said it to their face. And what Jesus was trying to say to them, he's like, hey, I'm going to go, and it's actually going to look a little different. I'm actually going to die. But they wouldn't hear it because they believe that as they approach Jerusalem, things were about to change. They just could not see it. They could not hear it. Now, there was this ancient piece of technology used in kind of our modern culture here. It would actually send these invisible waves through the air to your car, and it was called the radio. And you're like, why are you saying that? Like, it's because we're in a family service. There's some people in here who have never even heard the radio. They don't even know what a radio is. All right, raise your hand if you don't know what a radio is. Okay, there's a few hands in here. Yes, see? Younger generation. All right. Radio was cool. You could have like 100 stations. You could listen to any kind of station. You turn the station and you could go listen to one thing. It would filter out all the other channels. And all you could do was listen to whatever you wanted to. You could turn the station. You could listen to Metallica. You could listen to Christian music if you wanted to. I felt like I had to say that because we're in church. You had to listen to Christian music. You could have sports radio on a channel. You could listen to smooth jazz. It was amazing. You know what the best part about it was? It was free. That's crazy. Does it still exist? I don't know. I've been listening to Spotify for who knows how long, and I pay for that. It's terrible. Actually, I don't. But man, at the risk of sounding too cheesy, what Jesus was trying to do was they were stuck on this one station, and they wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. And he was trying to get them to tune their hearts and their minds to his station, to what he needed to say, what he was doing in the world and in their life. That's what this parable is all about. He was trying to filter out all the theories, all the ideas, all the noise, so that they could hear what God was really trying to do in the world. Now, why was he trying to do that with the disciples? There's a verse in Isaiah 55. I'm going to read to you guys, 8 through 9. Just let this soak in for a minute. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is God talking to you and me. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Thank God his ways are higher than ours. Amen. I mean, if it was up to us, we'd be in big trouble. It doesn't really matter how great you think you are. His ways are greater. It doesn't matter what you think that you think you know what's going to happen in 2024. You really don't. He's going to do something unexpected. And we have to be tuned in and ready for what Jesus has for us in 2024. We got to listen to his voice. We got to look. Jesus spoke to the disciples and the people that were walking with him to their face, said, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die." They didn't want to hear it. We can go into 2024 with our own ideas, our own agenda, and we can miss God's voice because we're so focused on what we want to happen or what we think is going to happen. Let this be a challenge to us all. When we leave and we go into 2024, let us be in tune with God. Amen? Verse 12, "Therefore he said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to become king and then return." So I'm going to stop right there. This is a pretty common thing. Back in this day, if someone ruled over a town or was wanting to rule over a town, they had to go to Rome to get permission to be king. So in this story, the details in the story, and we just read it, are pretty interesting. This is probably a common experience for them. In fact, there was something happening historically, a historical nuance that we missed because we didn't live during this time. But there was something that was happening around this time. In fact, so if you guys remember Herod the Great had three sons. Herod the Great had just died and left parts of the country to his three sons. And he left Judea to Archelaus. Archelaus was his son. And so in history, Archelaus traveled to Rome to talk to Augustus, Caesar Augustus, to get permission to be king over Judea. All right, so this really happened. And he went there, and it actually, in history, a Jewish, because Jews lived in Judea, they traveled to Rome with Archelaus to oppose it. And they spoke to Caesar Augustus, a delegation of Jews went there, and they said, "He is not our king." And they refused to believe and receive Archelaus as a king. Nevertheless, Caesar Augustus said he will be king over Judea. And there they are. So you look at some of these details, and for us, that this is new. But for them, they're going, hearing Jesus' parable, and they're like, "Yo, this is kind of, I'm feeling this. This is actually happening around us. There's something here." We see just Jesus' divine character. He's one of the best storytellers ever. I mean, he's going to use details and things that are familiar to them. And so it's kind of interesting. So they say, "He is not our king." However, when Jesus tells this story, it takes on a different meaning. He's not telling a historical lesson. It takes on a different meaning. Though the story may sound similar, the characters are different in this parable. There's something deeper happening here. As C.S. Lewis would say, there's a deeper magic still at work in this story. Jesus is trying to cut to the heart of us, our hearts, and speak to us. The story has another level to it. Unlike Archelaus, Jesus is the nobleman. So when you read this parable, now read it through this lens. Jesus is now the nobleman. And he will die and resurrect, and he will ascend to go be with God in heaven. He's going away to a far country. All right, so that his father can place under his feet all rule and kingdom and power and authority, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he's telling the story saying, hey, I am going away to a far country and he is going to become the king. And then also in the story, there's a bit of foreshadowing. We see in the story, there's a delegation, which they're thinking Archelaus' delegation. But if you fast forward in the story, Jesus gets arrested. Spoiler alert, I'm so sorry if you haven't read this far. Jesus gets arrested. And he is in Roman, he's arrested by the Romans. And he's there with Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is there, and there's a delegation of Jews. Do you remember the story? And he looks at the Jews and says, do you want me to kill your king? And they go, he is not our king. Caesar is our king. Which, you know, if I'm Pontius Pilate, I know that's a lie because the Jewish leaders did not like Rome. But he is not our king. So when we look at this parable, we know that Jesus is foreshadowing. We know that there's going to be Jewish leaders that are going to oppose his kingship even in this story. So how does this story apply to you and me for a second? If Jesus is the nobleman and he's going to a faraway land and he's ascending into heaven, and if like the parable says, he's going to return, because remember the nobleman goes away and he returns, that means you and I are living in what the scholars say, the age of grace, the time between Jesus dying, resurrecting, and going to heaven and him coming back. So this parable absolutely applies to every one of us because it outlines exactly what we ought to be doing in 2024 as we wait for Jesus to come back. It's crazy how we've been doing this series and this happened to fall on today. Because today we're walking into 2024 and you're saying, what do I do? What is God calling me to do? What should my actions be as we go into the new year? And Jesus lays it out for us. You think, like, he gave this parable then, but it was for us today. It's powerful. It's powerful. So look in the verses. It starts in 13. We see a divine investment. Look what he says. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 mina, and told them, engage in business until I come back. Who are the servants? We are the servants. If Jesus has gone away to a country, he's gone and he is coming back, he has invested, he has made a divine investment in you. He's made a large investment in you. From the smallest to the biggest to the oldest and youngest, he invested in you. And you might be thinking, God doesn't care about me. Whoa, 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 whoa. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Scripture says that. Like, he took time on you. He took time on you. In all of time and history, he chose for you to exist right now and for a purpose. He gave you breath. He gave you food. He gave you skills. He gave you talent. You know what? He could have made you a roach. But he made you an amazing individual. God invested in you. You are special. Every one of you, you have a unique gift. You've been given a special talent, skills. You are special, and God has made a divine investment in you. In fact, 10 mina is not just, we don't understand mina because it's a different type of currency, but 10 mina is actually 3 months' wages. Think how much you get paid in a month. And 3 times, he gave that much money to these servants. What Jesus was implying is that he made a very large investment in you. And in the servants. And so what are we called to do with that? It said his investment is not the only thing we see in the story. We see a call to active engagement. So he's made a investment in you. And then in the verse 13, it says, engage in business until I come back. I just like how it sounds. Engage in business until I get back. some translations say engage in kingdom business until I come back. And what he's saying is he's investing in these servants, and while I'm away, you are to be stewards over my kingdom. And so you and I are called to be servants and stewards over his kingdom with the gifts that you have been given. And he's saying, actively engage and steward what you have been given. What's the kingdom business? It's furthering the gospel and advancing his kingdom of love and hope in our hopeless world. And shameless plug, as the River Church, this is what we strive to do. This is why we try to empower and raise leaders and bring folks in here to use their gifts to further the kingdom. We want to be about kingdom business. We want to be about God's business until he comes back, sharing a message of hope and love in Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to do. That's who we want to be. So if you want to join the Dream Team and serve, come see me after service. Thank you. What are you called to do, though? What are you called to do? You like to cook? Steward that gift and feed the people in 2024. Do you like to talk? Are you a good communicator? Communicate to some people in 2024. Are you a student in here? Do you go to school? Tell somebody at school that Jesus loves them. And as I said that, I just thought about all those parent-teacher conferences and how they're going to be so interesting. Y'all going to be having church when y'all hear your kids are preaching the gospel at school. It's crazy. You make PowerPoints? Make the best daggone PowerPoint you've ever made. You dig holes? What do? Do it to the best of your ability. Do it to the glory of God. You want to know why? We get stuck thinking that if we're going to serve God and do kingdom business, we got to be a youth pastor, a worship leader. We got a missionary. We got to do all these things. No. God called you to where you are with the gifts that you've been given. And if we've been made in the image of God and our ability to create reflects who he is, then you're bringing glory to God by digging the best hole, by building the most beautiful cabinet, by doing the most incredible thing at your job. And the best thing about it is when people go, dang, how did you learn to do that so good? Then you give them the context. And you say, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have what I have if it weren't for Jesus. And that's just real. That's even countercultural because most people be like, yeah, I learned this myself. I pulled myself up from bootstraps. I taught myself. And instead you're like, look, I ain't got nothing but Jesus, right? What are you called to do? And if you were to come up to me and be like, hey, pastor, I'm called. And I'm like, cool, what are you called to do, man? I'm called to chill. I'd be like, I don't know who called you. I don't think it was Jesus. Spam, likely. I'm not saying he doesn't call us to rest. Sometimes he calls us to a season of rest. But you notice in the passage, he gets upset when the servant doesn't actively engage. You got to get active with those gifts. You got to get up and do something with what God has given you. He calls us to actively engage to advance the kingdom of God. And if you've ever actively engaged using the gift God's given you, there's nothing like it. It's like a fire in your bones. It's like a fire in here. You get excited because God, you're actually, the way you've been designed, the way that God made you, you're living in that. And it gets you fired up, man. You love it. It's like Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't hold it in. Indeed, I cannot. That's how we ought to live. We ought to live using those gifts, advancing the kingdom, loving people, spreading the gospel of Jesus in our world today. Steward your circle of influence. Steward the gifts that you have and use it all to bring glory to God and share hope of Jesus in this dark world. And then we see another thing, accountability and reward. Look at verse 15. At his return, having received the authority to be king. So now the king is back. All right? So this would be the end of Age of Grace when Jesus comes back and now he's checking on the servants like, what y'all been doing down here? Right? And the master's return in this symbolizes the ultimate return of Jesus. Upon his return, each servant is held accountable for their stewardship. So the first one was like, hey, I took your 10 mina and I made 10 more. And he's like, look, you get to be over 10 towns. Hey, the second servant, I gave you 5 mina. I made 5 more. You get 5 towns. And then that third one, Mr. Sassy Pants, he had something to say to the master, which was slightly kind of rude. I'll let you guys can go and research it and look into it. But, you know, what's interesting about this is, they went and engaged with what they were given. And so when he came back, it was important to him. I look at some of the frustration here. Remember, it's a parable. And a parable is most times a fictional story told to speak a spiritual truth, right? So you look at the frustration of the master, I kind of get it a little bit, all right? Like, I moved into my house. I can't remember how many years I've lived there. And when we moved in, one of the neighbors down the road, man, he had this really nice boat. Really nice boat. And I don't think I ever saw it leave the driveway one time. And I would drive by that boat, and I'm like, man, that thing is meant to sail the seven seas. It's meant to chase the horizon. That thing is designed to go do amazing things. But it just never left the driveway. It's hard to watch something that was meant for so much more just sit in the driveway. You were meant to sail. You were meant to sail the seven seas. Some of y'all are about to take it literally in 2024, like, I'm getting a boat. You were meant to do great things in the kingdom. I don't mean you were meant to get rich or you meant to stand on platforms, all that kind of stuff. No, what I mean is being someone who can positively impact someone's life for the kingdom. To love and spread hope using the unique gifts that God has given you. Don't just sit in the driveway and decay. I drive by that boat now. It's got rips in the seat and it's all torn and tattered. I don't even think it's seaworthy. So I kind of understand the frustration of the nobleman when he comes back and he's like, what did you do? I gave you these gifts, but you didn't use it. You sat in the driveway and decayed. Why didn't you use the gifts? Faithful and fruitful servants get commended and receive a reward, while the unfaithful servant faces consequences. And this shouts of the biblical principle that faithfulness and stewardship leads to blessings, and some of you won't like this, increased responsibility. Sometimes when you're faithful with what God's given you, sometimes you become more responsible for more, which can be a blessing. So in conclusion, I really want you to ask yourself two questions. As you walk into 2024 this year, I want you to really do some heart searching. Really think about your life, think about who you are, and ask yourself this question. What is the divine investment that God has made in you? How did God make you? What are the skills that you have? What are the abilities that you have? What are the talents that he's equipped you with? Seriously, think about it. Don't just sit there and be like, yeah, I'm not skilled in anything. I have no talents or abilities. Don't do that. There's something that God has made you to do. There's something that you can do. What is the divine investment that God has made in you? And the second question is this. How are you going to actively engage in kingdom business using those gifts in 2024? How are you going to use how God has made you to advance the kingdom, to love people, to bring hope in 2024? My prayer is that you'll ask yourself those questions and that God will move in your heart, speak to you, and drive you, motivate you to get actively engaged in kingdom business in this year. There's blessing and responsibility and life and love and hope that comes when you do that. Don't just sit in the driveway. Sail in 2024. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just your message today. God, thank you for this amazing parable of the 10 mina and what it means for us today. That God, this was said and spoken many, many, many years ago, yet it calls out to us and motivates us and calls us to actively engage in kingdom business and what you want to do in our world now. And so, Lord, I just want to pray over this congregation, pray over the folks that are in here, and pray that your Holy Spirit, whether it's now, in the car, on the way home, when they're about to go to bed, whatever it is, that you will start speaking to them. Tell them how you made them, remind them, and then also call them to do something with the gifts and the investment that you have made in them. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.